Is that volume? We'll get started in a moment. These are Manal's comments, right? Warren. So, first of all, thank you. We'll get started. Warren, can we hear you?
Can you hear me?
My goodness, yes, we can.
The voice of God.
You sound like God, yeah.
I'll try my best.
You're coming.
It's my son.
You're coming from the ceiling.
Gotta love Skype.
Anyway, thank you, Fabio, and thanks to Manal for putting together some documents that highlight parts of the comments that we've received. I think for this exercise, the smartest thing to do is just to go put the recommendations up on the wall based on the highlights of the comments from Fabio and Manal and the input we received from the GAC yesterday and the board yesterday. Let's identify any recommendations that we think we might want to amend. Yes, Fabio.
Brian, there are, both Manal and I, we have identified first a certain number of general comments. Perhaps we could just go through these general comments that are not specific to particular recommendations. And then in my list, I've not just taken the points that were in the written comments. I've tried as far as I could remember to put in also the points that were raised yesterday during the meeting with the board and the GAC.
That sounds fine. That makes sense. And I think to put some parameters around this exercise, these are the comments we received. I think it was 17 or 18, correct? So these are the comments we've received, responsive to the proposed recommendations. We've already looked at the comments that we received prior to publishing the recommendations. So the unique exercise here is there anything of substance in these comments that necessitate a change in recommendation? But Fabio, if you want to start with a high-level summary of the general comments,
now,
please
let me just go through the most important ones, the general ones. I would say that the first five, the six is more. First, there is a general comment about style time that we notice, we'll keep it in mind, that not much to be done. Then, do you remember that we had discussed among ourselves, should we have the recommendations in front separated from the text? Two of the comments were suggesting not to have the list of recommendations separated from the text. Now, should this lead us for the final presentation to avoid having the recommendations up front or perhaps add them at the end, just to be kept in mind, but on this we will have to take a decision. Then they were telling us that we should be dealing with the comments, that we don't have to say anything, we have to do it, the same as for the timelines. And then there was a request to have established public performance metrics. I honestly don't see how we can come up with anything meaningful now, but again, we would have to take a view on this. And then there is a more substantial point that I would leave for a second round of discussion. But here, we would have to decide on the presentation, how do we single out the recommendations, and what are we going to do about metrics, and how do we respond in the report to the request for metrics? How do we explain that we did not find it appropriate, useful, possible to identify metrics?
Okay, thank you. Let's start with, the first one was just a stylistic comment, and I'm not sure how to undo waffly. But maybe we'll find a way as we move forward. I like waffles for breakfast. I don't know how to address it in the document. The question of separating the recommendations from the text, it's an important one, and I think we all came to a conclusion for the ease of the reader in our proposed recommendations that we call them out in a separate executive summary. It is a very valid point that reading these recommendations without the text around them detracts from the meaning, from the context. I think even in some of the questions we heard from directors, clarification questions to us, this has been obvious. So as a reader, I would always say, give me an executive summary. But I think this is an important point, and this is a serious point. We might want to consider reverting to the original style in which we frame this document discussion.
No. To have an executive summary, but not to produce a separate list of recommendations. In other words, people would have to look for the recommendations, and when they look at them, inevitably they would have text against them and would be prompted to read the text as well.
No problem. My only concern is if the executive summary ends up being, you know, the recommendations and some text. So what we're saying is we don't put them in the executive summary.
Right.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
I'm happy with that.
Anybody have an objection to not putting the recommendations in the executive summary but placing them in the body of the text with the study work and analysis that we've done? No? Okay.
I don't have an objection, Brian, but I was wondering from a stylistic and perhaps less waffly point of view whether we could use some form of mark out of it, be it an indent, a font size or something, so the recommendations are slightly popped on page, that's all.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Bigger font, bold, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Yeah, agreed. Okay, that one's done. Metrics. Yeah, all I can say is that I feel strongly from a community perspective that if the community doesn't see some form of metrics against which ICANN's performance can be measured, there's going to be dissatisfaction, and I think significant dissatisfaction. And frankly, from an organizational standpoint or point of view for ICANN, if you were running ICANN, why you wouldn't want to have metrics, I don't understand. I mean, in any healthy organization, this is part and parcel of what you do. Now, it's, you know, we've talked about the review team. The follow-on review team is going to be a checkpoint, and that's true. And we've put potential dates, or we've talked about putting potential dates in, and that can be one element of measurement. But other than that, we've not provided any tools to measure implementation. And at this juncture, we can't integrate it into the analytical work we've done. The most we could do is raise the issue, as we did in our document, point to some standard metrics tools that are proven, and recommend strongly to the board that they apply metrics to these recommendations. Fabio.
My own experience with metrics has not been very, very positive. Of course, you want in any managerial activity, you want metrics. But then most of the metrics that you can find when it comes to public service or organizations of this type tend to be metrics about quantities, number of documents put online, a number of initiatives launched and everything. And this, they just measure the amount of work done, but not really the quality. And then there is another tricky point, is that the moment you start introducing, if you don't have the good metrics, you might introduce a sort of gaming behavior, where the organization tries to satisfy the metrics. So I would say, yes, for metrics, if we can find good ones. Can we recommend that ICANN finds a metrics? But it's a bit strange that we ask, well, maybe not, that they should be making an effort to find some metrics.
Let me ask it another way. And I appreciate the points. I think some of the tasks here, and as you mentioned, in more bureaucratic or policy-oriented organizations, sometimes it is difficult to measure the things those organizations do. I fully understand that. Maybe what we should do is go through the recommendations, because with a specific eye to, are there any recommendations that lend themselves to easy metrics? Because look at the board's skill set, for example. We've put very specific skill sets into that recommendation. And, you know, a metric would be to measure whether or not each and every one of those skill sets has been integrated into criteria that have been adopted and shared with the NOMCOM. So that we might take that approach.
You're quite right. This is a good suggestion. We'll keep it in mind as we go through. The guy suggested some metrics himself. So when we get to various points, we might want to have a look at what the guy suggested. For instance, the pool of candidates out of which the nominating committee chooses the directors and a few other items like this, the size of the pool.
Okay. Any other discussion on metrics?
Hardly a discussion, just yet another declaration. I think from a community perspective, if we are unable to give enough measurables, one of the recommendations that we might consider making in a very general form is that we instruct, encourage, desire from what we've heard from the community for ICANN to engage with the community to establish a set of measurables. Because what we're hearing is we don't know what goes on in the bubble. And one of the easiest ways to solve this is to allow people to have something they can measure and see a change from what is, in some people's minds, a performance level here. How do we know if it's improved? We have to be able to measure, and without metrics, that's going to be very difficult. And this is not something ICANN board should be surprised about, because it's something that certainly Chuck and I stood up in the days pre-AOC and said in IGF meetings, you have to have metrics. And certainly, I don't think the GNSO and ALAC would be very happy if we don't.
Any other comment? Louis? Olivier? No, Louis.
Yes, I don't think we can really get something very general metrics on most of the topics. There are some topics, like the example that Fabio gave of the NOMCOM and the pool of candidates that are on very small elements of the report. And we had the discussion in Marina del Rey about metrics, and we didn't really go very far.
We did. And back to Fabio's point about the things that are difficult to measure, again, I understand and I fully agree, but from a community perspective, even if we go through these recommendations and identify the ones that have enough specifics in them so that we can suggest metrics for this one, metrics for that one, there will be others where it's unclear. And it's my sense that even if we go that far, and then for the ones that are unclear, we suggest to ICANN that it adopt metrics, that will still leave some dissatisfaction because of the point you raised, the possibility of gaming. You know, they're establishing their own measurement tools for their own performance, and that's a concern that we've heard. So I think we have to go at least as far as getting specific on the recommendations that we can, and then be very clear as we can, without imposing. Yes?
I think that we need, in the introduction, when we explain our methodology, a paragraph on this, where we show that we discussed the issue of metrics. We realize all the difficulties, and we say that we have identified one or two metrics, if we can, one or two indicators that could be used if we can find them, but that we are aware of the difficulties and that perhaps additional work should be done by ICANN together with the community. Essentially summarizing the discussion that we've had now and putting it into the document.
That makes sense.
I think more, this is Warren, Brian, I think Fabio's comment's really important because, you know, this is a very obviously non-traditional organization where we could create, again, these negative dynamics out of the introduction of explicit metrics in certain areas. I mean, if for instance, we ourselves as a group discussed the fact that there, you know, may have been financial incentives for staff members to complete successfully the new GTLD process, right? Now, is that a metric that we'd want to, you know, you could discuss that as a metric, completion of the applicant guidebook successfully. and somebody gets bonus for that. Well, that's not necessarily something where you want that time to market metric to be applied. And I think in terms of understanding what's transpiring, which is what Cheryl recommended, you know, there you're dealing more with a qualitative issue than a quantitative issue, right? We would be less interested in how many minutes were put out and how, you know, what was actually in the minutes that wasn't redacted or actually reflected decision making. So again, I think we need to proceed with caution here and not be sort of the word's not hostage, but, you know, feel a pressure to respond to every single comment expeditiously in a way that could devalue what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's a point well taken. And all I would note, Warren, is that we as a review team created a standalone document that raised this issue. So we have to explain, and we're expected to explain ourselves anyway, just as we're saying ICANN has to explain itself. So I'm taking your points and taking Fabio's cue that we'll draft something as kind of a preamble and a wrapper around whatever it is we do on the metrics front and the points about the potentially unmeasurable or difficult to measure pieces is well accepted. Anything else on metrics? Louis, sorry.
It's all right. And beyond what we already discussed are doing, remember early on we realized that metrics were hard and that we would establish the baseline with a survey. And the questionnaires could act as a metric for next time for measuring how improvements, what people feel has happened. So maybe as we're explaining ourselves about the metrics, we put the recommendation that, maybe not so much a suggestion that the next ATRT does a similar survey with a similar set of questionnaires.
Well, point well taken. Anything else on metrics? Okay.
Can I just... Sorry, this is not on metrics, but I've got there's an email from Carlos just to say that he can't get here because there's a demonstration going on and all the roads to the conference centre are blocked. All buses and taxis are returning to the hotels.
Glad we took a taxi, Louis. Okay, we'll close down on metrics. Was there a point? Yes, Fabio.
There is a rather fundamental point which has three parts from, again, this guy, Sean Gunnarsson. He's complaining that we have not understood the remit that was given to us by the affirmation of commitments. And essentially, he says that we should have passed judgment on the current and past performance of ICANN. Now, as far as one is concerned, from this part, I think it's easy to address his concern to explain how we've done our work. I found an indication, I think, on page 7, I indicate where an extra paragraph could be inserted, and essentially we should be saying that in order to make the recommendations, we had to form a view about the current situation, and we have expressed our views of the current situation when we discuss the findings, so that we have not refrained from quote-unquote passing judgment. We have a view. That is the first point. Still, on this question of publishing the rationale for the decisions, I've reread our present text, and there is a problem there, because if you read it, it gives the impression that it says, the bylaws are not quite clear. ICANN has started doing something on the 1st of October. We will see how it goes. Now, when it comes to the obligation, to the request that ICANN explains its decision, this is an old request. And ICANN promised in the past many times to do more. So probably we will have to reword our own text there to avoid giving this impression that this need for additional explanation is something new that was only discovered now. Then there is a third dimension, and that is something I'm returning on the discussion that we had yesterday. Now, we decided to put a deadline, a cutoff date on the 17th of June, but that was for the inquiry that Bergman and we had to do on the past. On those three examples that we were looking at, But the 17th of June cannot possibly apply to our own work, because our own work is to, even in the narrowest interpretation, to see if, since the 1st of October, ICANN has been complying with its commitments. And there, I find that the issue that Larry has particularly underlined, but everybody was aware of this U-turn on vertical integration in October, something worrying. Now, when it comes to our judging what ICANN has been doing from the 1st of October, very often it's about processes that take time. But when it comes to the question of motivating the decisions, this is something that can be done overnight. If the board wanted, they could have started doing that on the 1st of October. And here we are in a case where, after the 1st of October, after the signing of the affirmation of commitment, they took a very important decision that was a U-turn and did not justify it. So there is something that, in my view, we cannot ignore in our report.
You're welcome, Brett. At least on the particular recommendation, I think it's 20, which deals with this particular issue, I do think at this point the comment from Sean Gunnarsson, I do think is pertinent, and I do think we ought to recognize that in addressing that recommendation. We can talk about the specific language when we get there, but this idea that there were things that were supposed to be changes made immediately after the signing of the affirmation is something we really don't take account of in these recommendations, and I think we ought to go back and do that. And so I think rather than making some of these recommendations totally forward-looking, I think we have to acknowledge that that these were things that could and should have been implemented back in starting in October of 2009 and weren't.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Yeah, Chris, sorry.
I agree with that. I'm just wondering whether we could best logistically do that by inserting, by not necessarily changing the recommendations, but inserting a paragraph or a series of paragraphs in the general report that comments on that. Or do you think it's necessary to sheet it home specifically to recommendations?
I think the question is having something look totally forward-looking when it's something that should have already been done. So it may not require any substantive change in the recommendation, but just an acknowledgement that it's that not just a forward-looking, there's some element that this should have been done already.
In the findings that precede the recommendations, there could be one or two sentences where we express our disappointment on this particular issue.
I think we could do both. I think we could put it in a preamble or in, you know, forward text, and then and it's specifically in 20 to the extent that we want to modify that to make it clear that that's something that should have happened, been happening since October 1st.
No, I mean, that's why I raised the question, because, I mean, I know it might sound pedantic, but recommendations should be recommendations, and the preamble is where you put your comment. I don't think the recommendation ought to be forward-looking. By definition, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't say all the other stuff. It's just where you say it.
Okay, that's a point well taken. We'll address that issue and make sure it's clear in the report and the in the report that this is something that should have been happening since October 1st. But I do want to get back to Fabio's point about commenting on anything that happens after June 17th. I still have reservations about doing that, since we established the parameters for very clear purposes, and since we were clear that our recommendations were not to impact any ongoing proceedings or to undo any decisions that have been taken. These are clear parameters we put around our work, and I'd be very, very concerned about stepping over those lines.
Brian, I'm not so sure about that, because we clearly said the 17th of June, for the specific issue of XXX, and we did not want to have any influence, and rightly so, on ongoing procedure. But that was for those three specific items that had to be the object of our inquiry. If you put a date of the 17th, you are flying in the face of the obligation to see what ICANN has been doing since the 1st of October. Because if you look at, even if you take the narrowest interpretation of the remit, the one that Peter, who's not here today, was suggesting, we should have been checking whether, since the 1st of October, ICANN had been doing a certain number of things. So we are requested to look at what has happened after the 17th of June.
But the narrow parameters and the case studies included new GTLDs and included explicitly the case that you're speaking to, vertical integration, as well as .XXX. So the issues that you're pointing to are those that were expressly included in those boundaries and put into the Berkman contract, not just the principles we adopted, but in the Berkman contract.
Yeah, but what we have heard now, what the point we are reacting to, is not something that comes from the Berkman work. And this is a point that has been raised by many people during public meetings. The lack of justification of a decision taken in October. And I'm sure that we could probably even find other examples of this. Now, this was a very visible one. But you remember even the analysis that Kieran McCarthy provided us about how the minutes have become shorter and shorter in recent months.
Fabio, I'm a little lost. What actually are you suggesting that we should do?
I think on the first part of the comment, as we have already agreed, we can have some language either in preamble, in the text that precedes the recommendation, to express some displeasure. That is all I'm asking for. But then I was raising the point is, I do not think, even if we had, for very good reasons that I totally support, that cutoff date for the work done by Berkman, that doesn't mean that us as a group, we should be ignoring everything that has happened after the 17th of June.
Okay, I understand you're saying we shouldn't be ignoring it, but are you suggesting we should specifically do something?
No. In this particular case, I don't know, there might be other cases that come up. I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. But on this one, clearly, saying something, as we have agreed in the preamble and in the text that precedes Recommendation 20, would already be a way of showing that we have looked at events that have taken place in October.
I just want to bring one more element into this. And I think, Larry, you clarified yesterday that the letter you sent is a different animal from our work. That is, Larry, in his capacity as Assistant Secretary of the Department of Commerce, speaking as a Department of Commerce, the U.S. government. I have some concerns about the blurring of lines between those two activities, the review activities, and the U.S. government speaking in its own right, in its own perspective as a signatory. I understand the subject matter is blurred, but there is a distinction there, and I would not like to see the work of the review team clouded in any way that's not intended by Larry or not helpful to the final product. Larry, you have any perspective on that?
Well, I guess I agree with that, and I'm certainly open to, if you feel at the public meeting this afternoon we ought to say something about that, certainly open to articulating what would be appropriate in that regard. I mean, yes, they are separate, but as we've just seen with this one recommendation, paragraph 20 of our recommendations deals with an undertaking that I have specifically called ICANN out for in a very specific process that they've been undertaking on the top level domain. So I don't know how we get away from the fact that we're both looking at the same subject matter. But if we could, and I don't know if we need to take the time in this group, given everything else we have to do. But I'm happy to try to put distance between what I did as a signatory to the AOC versus what this team's attempting to do. And I welcome any suggestions from people as to how to articulate that distance.
I think for purposes of the public session, that would probably be helpful. And I think we can then turn our attention to crafting language in the final report that addresses the points Fabio's raising but tries to walk that fine line. Okay. Any other comment?
Yeah, Larry, what you said yesterday about different articles of the AOC, I think, was a way of explaining things that I found useful. Yeah.
Okay, let's close off that discussion. Now, those are the high-level issues, correct?
There is perhaps another one that it can easily be dealt with. Sean Gunnarsson and Kieran McCarthy suggested that we talk about all the impediments to our work created by ICA. I think that doesn't have to be dealt with specifically. You had already indicated that you want to put something about the process. The question will be to which extent do we want to be explicit or what express views and everything. But I would say let's wait until you produce the text and then we will react.
I will produce a text. I intend to be explicit, and then we can, as a group, edit it from there. I actually have one other overarching issue that was raised I think we need to treat in some way. There was a comment that we did not provide and operate on a definition of the public interest. So I think we need to have a clear discussion about how we're going to react to that comment in our final report. I felt from the beginning that the review team creating a definition of public interest was fraught with danger. We're not experts. As we all know, public interest depends on what lens you look through, which government seat you're sitting in, and I just didn't see it. I wouldn't say it's outside the scope of our considerations, but it's not to us to define what the public interest is. Does anybody feel differently? Did we lose anything by not creating a working definition for ourselves?
We cannot probably come up with a very precise public definition, but we can again try to put into the text some of the exchanges that we've had among ourselves. And probably we should be explaining that we cannot come up with a definition of public interest, a precise definition. Because public interest is, by definition, what interests the public at large, the 8 billion inhabitants of the world that might use the Internet. So everything that comes up that is raised by a group is, by definition, public interest. So one cannot have a precise definition. One will I would say, and this is an important message that I would give to ICANN, if a group in Amazonia comes up with an issue, it has to be dealt with, even if it sounds strange and everything. So to explain why we cannot have a definition of public interest.
Larry?
I thought Steve made a pretty good point, though, which is we use the term throughout the document, and maybe we can't be precise. I agree with Fabio on that point, but I'm wondering if we can provide some meat around the bones, because I am a little concerned with the comment that Steve makes that I think is pertinent, which is if it means anything to anybody, then it really doesn't mean anything at all. And I just wonder if there's some way to put some limits around it. I mean, in his attempt, I don't find fully satisfying, but he does say we need to go beyond just the immediate community of people who contract with ICANN and spend time with it and look at, you know, all of the users of the Internet. And then he gives us, two dimensions, availability, and I can't remember what the second one was. And I think that's probably too limiting. But I just wonder if there's some pieces of the concept that we could pull together to indicate how it guides us, because the idea that it can mean anything to anybody is a dangerous one when somebody wants to challenge whether or not if the board takes these and says, well, in our view of the public interest, we do X, Y, and Z, and it's totally at odds with what we think, we haven't really provided any framework on which to evaluate that, and I'm a little nervous about that.
But thank you for offering to draft text, Larry.
I just want to come in and say I think it's extremely important that we have an understandable definition that we agree we worked in the parameters of for this particular report. It doesn't have to be the definitive one that the community will accept after whatever process we go through later to deal with it, but it, letting them know what we mean by it would be good.
Cheryl, I agree with that, but having listened to what Larry just said, I just want to make sure it's not a definition. It's not an attempt to define. It's an explanation. It's a wider than that. Because if we try and get Larry to draft, you know, a definition of public interest, that's an almost impossible task. It's much more of a sort of explanation of what we had in our heads when we were dealing with it, I think.
Thank you, Chris. The dynamic I'm seeing... Oh, sorry, Olivier.
Yes, if we start to go into definition, there are a few other terms in the report that may need some definition, like accountability. We discussed that in Marina Del Rey.
So what I see is the fact that we did not establish a definition of public interest, so we did not operate in our analysis and formulation recommendations using a specific definition, but we want to provide some clarity going forward as to how public interest may factor into the implementation of these recommendations at ICANN. Is that basically the framing? Okay. And you're right, Olivier, but if we establish definitions at this point of the exercise, what's the impact of that?
The problem is where do we stop?
No, but I think now on public interest, we have reached the operational conclusion to ask Larry for a text. Let's wait for it.
We have text on the screen.
A comment about that.
Yeah, so this is how we treated it. All forms of accountability. So it says the RT believes that all these forms of accountability, and there's three bullet points above. Yeah, thank you. Public sphere accountability, corporate and legal accountability, and participating community accountability, all these forms of accountability must be considered and balanced. In other words, the, quote, public interest and the interest of, quote, individual stakeholders are interdependent. The RT also believes that the public interest is served ultimately by creating an environment in which all stakeholders can be assured that the rules will be, one, debated, two, refined to reflect relevant input from the community, including the community of governments participating in the ICANN process, and three, honored. I think we did a pretty good job. It's not bad.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, I think then we need to call this out, you know, in response to Steve's comments. And this is where we landed. And it's really about creating an environment that embodies these elements. Okay. Thank you, Alice. Okay, we need to move into the recommendations themselves and go through each and identify where we may be making. Yes, of course. Please, Chris.
So I just want to introduce one overarching point. I've had a fair bit of feedback, and yesterday in the board session, the new director from Egypt, shall I? Anyway,
yeah, sure.
Talked about, as a newcomer reading the report, how negative it was, etc. And a couple of other people have said that, and I'm just wondering whether, given that this document is going to be around for a long time and is not always going to be read by those with an ICANN brain who understand how this stuff works, I'm just wondering whether we ought to consider making some preamble or ending comments talking about, acknowledging the model, acknowledging that it, you know, that this is an attempt to improve, it is not an attempt to destroy, all of that stuff. Because I don't think we've done that, and it's just a question of whether we should.
Agreed. Here's what I'm going to suggest, because we don't have a heck of a lot of time, and I think we have agreed to having a working dinner this evening. Certainly nobody's closed to that. We have 29 recommendations to go through. Olivia.
One more general remark is that the question of implementation is really very strong from all the comments.
Implementation, yeah. How are they going to implement?
We will probably deal with discussing the overarching recommendation.
Here's what I'm going to suggest. With the time we have left in this session, let's go through the recommendations and simply flag the recommendations that we think we may have to amend based either on these comments or specific things we've heard from the GAC or specific things we've heard from the board without delving into lengthy discussion around each recommendation. Can we do that first and then get on with the business of tweaking the language, which will require more discussion? Does that make sense? And if that means this work spills over into the dinner tonight, then so be it. Okay? All right. You've got them up on the screen. Can you enlarge the font just a bit? Thanks. Warren, you okay with that? We're not going to have you at dinner, but we certainly can. Whatever we produce at dinner in terms of work product, obviously we'll get to you and to Manal and to Peter and to Eric for your review and input. Sometimes God doesn't answer. Okay. Let's start with number one. So everyone can see that. So this is the...
Here, my son.
Well played.
Hang on. How am I supposed to respond to that?
Fabio.
We should perhaps be taking a decision about the overarching recommendation because... In my view, it has a logic for being where it is at the end, also because it leads into the implementation. But at one point, we discussed that perhaps it would have become the first one. I would tend to maintain it, to leave it at the end, and maybe to say overarching recommendation and implementation or something like this. But we have to take a decision on this.
Yes, well, noted. We'll take a decision on that. I'm pretty sure we're going to be fleshing out the recommendation on implementation. Okay, let's start with number one, which was identifying collective skill sets for the NOMCOM. Based on the comments from the GAC, the comments from the directors, and the public comments we received, do we believe that we're going to have to modify this recommendation?
I did not quite understand the comment by Steve Del Bianco about there being the recommendation not being very precise on the nominating committee.
Which one? Which comment was that, Fabio? Number 10 on your list? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Was that related to the comment yesterday we got about the independence of the NOMCOM and how far one can go to impose this on them? I think Steve's comment may relate to that.
If I may, the breaching across into the independence of the NOMCOM is a thorny, dangerous area indeed. And I'd be tempted to respond to the comment to say it is something that, while the in principle actions we would like to see happen are easily articulated and outlined, the mechanisms and implementation of how that can happen within the operational procedures of the nominating committee need to be looked at in further work or some such.
So let's look at what we've suggested. Go to B. So in actually establishing the skill sets, we're recommending that an open consultation process with direct consultation through the SOs and ACs take place. So mechanistically, this is how they're going to be created, the skill sets. Following these requirements annually, delivering a formalized starting point for the NOMCOM each year. So here, I believe, we're recommending that the board provide to the NOMCOM a formalized starting point for the NOMCOM each year. This is mechanistically something where people could be concerned that the board could influence the NOMCOM.
Hello.
Correct?
Okay, hey, that's great.
Cool.
Can we get Steve's actual comment up at all on the other screen, maybe? Or
I can't.
Unless,
here it is.
Oh, you got it there? Oh, cool. Thanks. So his comment is, I think, is how strictly the NOMCOM is bound by this, and we can't say that. I think we're saying, give them guidelines, give them skill sets, etc. But we cannot. We're not reviewing the NOMCOM, and it's not our job to do that, I think.
Okay. Do we need to add any language that acknowledges the concern of the dynamic between the board and the NOMCOM, and put any boundaries or suggest the need to respect the board not influencing the operation of the NOMCOM, simply passing developed skill sets that are developed in a consultative process as a communication and no more to the NOMCOM on an annual basis?
Brian, I think that this is a first example when we discuss taking into account comments. We should have in the findings one or two sentences that discuss this and that explicitly say during the public comment period that the idea was suggested that maybe, but we felt that.
I actually like that, because I think we have to respect the fine balance between not dictating to ICANN too specifically what the mechanism should be that they use, but at the same time, by putting it in those comments in that part of the text, it's almost like legislative history, if you will, that people can point to and constrain the board from going beyond the bounds. I actually like that approach. Anybody?
Whereas the ATRT understands that.
Here comes the whereases. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
There were contradictory comments on this topic.
Just hold on. I don't have a problem with it, with the principle, but if we're going to do this, then we're doing it with everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid comment.
This is what we are demanding that the board should be doing,
and we
should be doing that. It's
eat
a lot of work, but
food.
We have to do it.
Okay. So can I suggest then, if we're going to do it with everything, that we don't do it in the document, that we actually do an annex to the document? Because it's just going to make it so complicated.
Well, I think on the one hand, and this was the point that Cheryl made yesterday, to have an annex where we say these are the comments and this is how we reacted, identifies the comments. On the other hand, it is an extra work, because every time you have to rewrite a full paragraph or two or three paragraphs to make your point. Whereas if you do that in the text, sometimes one or two sentences can acknowledge the input received, and that's it.
Go ahead, Larry.
Would it be what I'd been thinking about as I looked at the comments related to the recommendations on the GAC was we already in our structure of our report have a discussion of comments received during the first round, and we go through and what I had been contemplating was the idea of writing up two or three paragraphs or whatever it requires to basically say, and here are the comments we received in this round, and basically indicate at that point that, you know, we made an adjustment in the recommendation in account of that comment, that type of thing. So it could just, it would only be one thing added, and then obviously recommendations would be added, but I wouldn't, at the recommendation itself would now be a clean final recommendation. You wouldn't see a red line back to what it used to look like, but you would just have covered it in this explanatory section.
Exactly. If you want, we have the findings, we have the discussion of the findings, and that's where we would comment on the comments received at various stages.
I agree with that structure, and I would add that we need to, in that piece of the report, also articulate, identify the comments that we did not accept in terms of making changes and why we didn't. I think we want to put some of that in there as well. We've heard you, because we're insisting that ICANN needs to do that, so it's important to have that element. Okay. So no changes to the text of this recommendation. Right. Let's move on. Number two. Okay.
they have volunteered to give us the period for the reviews we had in certain number of years. Somebody has suggested 3. I know.
Are we going to change the text of this recommendation based on the public comments we've looked at, feedback from the GAC, feedback from the board to date? Other than adding number of years. I see no changes. All right, number 3. Subject to the caveat that all deliberations and decision candidates must remain confidential. Do you see these, Warren, by the way?
No.
Of course you see them.
If you look at Manal's sheet, she does identify 2 specific comments we received on recommendation 3.
Yep. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I'm just glancing at her sheet now, okay. But she does make a reference to a Coalition for Online Accountability saying specific skill set criteria should be given priority over some of the more general and ethereal requirements. To raise the accountability level of NOMCOM above current level proposed requirement, explained choices made should be phrased in reference to fulfillment of the announced collective skill set criteria. And then there's a comment from the Norwegian government, a little more general comment about board members are not accountable in the normal meaning of the word, specifically or especially members selected by NOMCOM. I don't know that. That's more a comment. The first one, though, is more of a recommendation to change.
Have we not already recommended that? Because we are recommended that the NOMCOM explain a bit.
No. The key point on this one is Steve Medler's suggestion that the skill set. Say you identify a skill set gap of lawyers. Highly unlikely, I know, but let's just assume you do. He's saying that filling that gap should take precedence over some of the other things that the NOMCOM is required to take into account, and by that I assume he means things like gender and geographic balance, and I just don't think that's workable. This is an addition to their current... This is an additional metric, if you like, to their current system of finding people. I don't think we should be saying, and it's more important or less important, just it's there.
But again, we should be having in the text something that says, in the public comments, the proposal was made, but we feel that would not be appropriate.
In fact, I think there's another comment that I can't find quickly that kind of went the other direction,
yeah, exactly.
And said you'll end up creating silos if you do it. So I think whoever's doing this could play the 2 comments off against each other and say we don't make a change.
Can I just while we're getting into the swing of this now, it isn't a requirement to respond in some form of knee-jerk reaction and actually make changes just because Mary Smith said it was a good idea. It's not also required if it's, you know, government XYZ said it was a good idea. What is required is that we consider it, we look at it, and we tell them why we did or did not take it into account. So... as long as we're doing that, I'm happy.
Well said, Charles. Okay, are we going to change the text here or not?
Nope.
No. No. Okay. Number 4. Building on the work already done, continue to expedite reforms to board meetings and work practices. Nothing to change. Right.
You can go to recommendation 6 directly, because neither Manal nor I, we have identified anything.
On number 5, do we need to be more clear about compensation scheme, because the question came up from the directors, does it include non-voting or not?
I think we do. We need to say what our intentions were,
yes.
And let their mess sort it out later.
Well, yes. Hold on. Yes, that's right. But if you remember the discussion we had, we used the term specifically board directors because we thought that was clear. We just need to say...
Voting directors. Yeah, we need to add a word.
And then I think there was also a request for clarification that we were not recommending all of the recommendations of BCG be adopted, and the language we have right now could be read that way.
Yeah, so
you may just want to change "and" to "to".
Do we want to just drop the reference to the Boston Consulting Group and recommend compensation scheme as being considered by the board?
Or you could flip it and say expeditiously implement the compensation scheme as recommended by BCG.
That's the way to do it.
There you go.
We wanted to put it in because if you remember the discussion, we talked about the fact that the board actually is dealing with it as a recommendation of the Boston Consulting Group and is oscillating on the spot and unable to reach any form of consensus. Yeah.
Process question? And I may have just had a brain cramp, but when we had the discussion about metrics, were we going to look at whether we could design metrics for each of these as we go through them now, or are we going to
do that as
an exercise later?
No, thanks for the catch. Let's do that with each and every one. Does this recommendation lend itself to clear metrics?
Five does, I think, in terms of giving them a deadline.
Give them a deadline, yeah. Can you just scroll back through one very quickly?
I've seen that I picked up, put it in the wrong place as number 28. There was also the issue of doing that, taking into account the various legal and currency transfer complexities. Do you remember that was a point that was raised yesterday?
Yes, we wanted some preamble to this, at recognizing.
It's part of that letting them sort that bit outline.
Yeah.
Because.
Right. Okay. Very quickly, number one. Metrics
by the next round of the NomCom.
When is that?
This time next year.
Okay. Would you do me a favor, Alice? Would you go to the bottom of this and just in brackets put, and we'll save the changes to this document, put a bracket that says by the next round of the NomCom, and then we'll flesh out the language. Thank you. Okay, number two.
I think whoever was honest about metrics, did they propose a specific metric for this one?
Jonathan Suck.
I thought they did. So they talk about metric of the quantity of the board candidate pool, the diversity of the pool by regions represented, a reference to appeal mechanisms.
Larry, is there merit here of us cross-referencing the work that we have from ICANN on the NomCom review process? Because that's sort of happening. It's not. And didn't they look at appeals mechanisms and transparency and clarity in that?
Okay. The current status of the NomCom review report is that it is lost in space somewhere. But we need to be a little bit careful that we don't, that what is effectively a simple recommendation from us doesn't get hijacked by comments that want to turn it into something that it isn't. It's a very clear recommendation about providing skill sets and all of that. So I'm not sure that this comment adds anything to it. Larry, do you?
I don't have it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to punt it across to the nominating committee review process and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's right. What we are doing is making a recommendation of something the board can do. That doesn't involve changing the NomCom bylaws or anything like that. And anything else that involves the NomCom to change is a different thing. Okay.
And this is one where I think we actually know what part of the board is going to be involved in this. This is a Structural Improvements Committee piece of work.
Yeah, but the question that arises is how do we, following Fabio's points, is how do we deal with this comment? What are we going to say about this particular comment? Yes, thanks very much.
Thank you for your comment. We considered it, and no change.
Okay, well, could we say something like the comments from ACT are broad-ranging comments about structure of the board, and so on. And that's not something that the ATRT.
It's outside of our reach.
No, I think we. Every time the comments relate to something that we have in the text, we have already agreed how we deal with them. At the end, we will probably have to have an additional section that says, by the way, we've also received comments about A, B, C, and D, but we felt that A was outside our remit, B did not make sense, C was totally silly, and so on. That there be some...
Okay, so just so that I'm clear then, are we saying that that Jonathan's comments about... that he's referenced back to our recommendation one,
mm-hmm.
are we saying that we think these comments are out of scope?
Well, we...
Hold on. Yeah, you're shaking your head.
So his recommendations and his metrics, he's given you three metrics that would apply to recommendations 1 through 10.
Yeah.
He hasn't done it recommendation by recommendation. So how do you actually apply this to the recommendations you've given? So take a look at what he's done A, B, C, and D, the four work groups, not the recommendations.
Brian, since we are applying the standards that we would like to see the board to apply, I would not want to create a situation where we give a specific reply to each individual comment, because there might be situations where you get 2,000 comments. So you analyze, you comment the comments where it's relevant in the discussion. You do it as often as you can, but that's it. I would not reply particularly to ACT or to any other person's comment.
I take that point. I think we actually want to explicitly say, and let's discuss this, it's not the expectation that in rendering a decision that ICANN is going to cite to each and every comment. Just as we did in our recommendations, proposed recommendations, we cited to some specific comments. We didn't cite to all of them. That's not the expectation. But the expectation is that you do cite to the comments that support the analytical basis for your decision. You do cite to those that opposed the decision and articulate why, what your rationale was for not accepting them. So I think we need to be explicit on that, to set expectations in the community.
Mm. But that's fine, but that's a separate point. That's not where we are.
Where are we, Chris?
you might be amazed to hear that since you've been away, we haven't moved. But no, I think where we are is that we've decided that there's no... the metric of by the next round of the non-com is okay, and that's... So we can move on. To number two.
Also, would it be a good time now, as we go through each one, to map to these recommendations to the work groups that?
No, because we don't know. We don't know what they are. We need to ask the board explicitly to help us do that. They need to map it for us. Yeah, but no, good idea. Good idea. It's something we need to integrate. Placeholder.
Needs a placeholder for it. Yeah.
Just put a placeholder somewhere. In brackets. All right, so number two, the question is, does this lend itself to clear metrics?
Well, it would be a starting metric, wouldn't it? Starting no later than. Because we're saying do this no less than every years, commencing no later than.
And we should probably consult with the Board Governance Committee. They might actually have this in process, who knows, but let's check with them. If they don't have it in process, then we set the deadline.
Okay, so Alice, if you could just put down there in brackets, no later than commencing, starting no later than X. Okay. What about inserting the number of years, Brian? Well, we've got a blank, it says, no less. Yeah, I mean,
it's a long time.
Well, it is a long time, but then eventually the organisation will review itself to death. I mean, you have to be sensible. it'll disappear up its own,
Yeah. 3 years?
Three years.
So shouldn't this be considered in the context of how often the board members cycle? So that, you know, and it's different.
Well, the terms are 3 years. They cycle every year, but they sit for a term of three. So three kind of makes sense.
Three's starting to make sense. Any opposition to three? Okay. All right, let's move to number three. Does this lend itself to easy, clear metrics?
Well, we set it as soon as possible, but no later than the 2012 selection process.
Yeah.
I just want to check that what we mean by that is the process that starts at the end of next year for board members' seats in 2012.
And that's the next nomination period.
Yes, yeah, so we might want to be a little clearer about that.
Yeah.
No later than the nominating committee process that commences at the end of 2011 or something like that. Just need to.
Well, we also have the language that says, as clearly articulated.
Maybe you're better off tying it to the work of a insert the right date, which is 2011 nominating committee, because the nomcoms go by a year prior to their appointments are made. Go figure. So 2011
gotcha.
NOMCOM is responsible for 2012 appointments.
Right. So this current NOMCOM is that's about to be impaneled.
Is
2010 NOMCOM.
Correct.
Okay.
2010 NOMCOM happens. It does 2011 work. We want to say the 2011 NOMCOM
correct.
Has to be doing this.
Fine. Okay. So that raises an interesting issue. We would like them to start doing this in January. And under the AOC, the board has until June to act on these recommendations. So is this one of the ones that we earmark as this is something that we think should start next month?
But we haven't said that.
We said 1 year later.
1 year later.
If you want it in the 2010 one, that's presumptuous. They've already reached out to the various communities. They would have already had their discussions with the board.
Yeah,
we've lined up the meetings to give our criteria for what goes where. It needs to be the 2011 NOMCOM for the 2012 appointments. We've missed 2010 NOMCOM for the 2011 appointments.
I understand that.
This recommendation, whilst it could stand alone, doesn't really, because it's talking about the skill set criteria that we've asked them to use and so on. So what we're saying is really that the recommendations in respect to the NOMCOM's transparency and the skill set really all hang together. So unless there's a real issue with it, it seems to me that the goal should be that the next nominating committee, which is the one that will come in October next year, should be given what we have said. To try and do it with this one, it already exists. It's almost impossible
right,
to do.
That would be the 2012 NOMCOM, because the 2011 has already started.
No, it's the 2011 NOMCOM.
No, trust me, if it could be more complicated, I don't know how. But
I've got a meeting with the 2011 chair.
Yeah, but it's called the 2010 nominating committee.
Yeah, okay.
They are created at an AGM prior to the year their operation
is
effective.
Being created right
I'm going to let Cheryl and Chris sort that one out.
Gee, thanks.
Language-wise. You're welcome. Number four, does this... Fabio.
I apologize for being a bit pedantic, but continue to expedite. Looks a bit strange. Expedite contains this idea of acceleration. Continue to accelerate. implement or...
You don't need to say it. You can just say building on the work already done, expedite reforms to board meetings and work practices. You can take continue out.
Yeah.
Continue and two out.
Is there something specific we're going to measure them against on that one?
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, what are the reforms?
Well, these are ongoing board governance committee pushes for stuff to change and stuff to happen. It's not formalized in any way, as far as I can remember.
So, I mean, the question is, how will you know if they've done this?
Well, one way of doing it would be to ask them to produce a report to the community by X setting out what reforms and have happened in the previous 12 months. I just think I've given myself a job on the board, haven't I?
So
12 months. Would you like to deliver that?
Yeah, well, I think I'd be happy to deliver that report in 2013. Is it feasible by next year's AGM? I mean, that's a 12 months from now. I mean, by the next AGM.
Well, a report's a report.
Yeah. It's not exactly complicated, is it?
No.
Yeah. So the next AGM.
Next AGM. And
so you're just going to add a sentence there to that to pick that up, or?
Yes.
If Alistair, if you could just put a bracket in that says.
By the next AGM.
But 2011 AGM.
The 2011 annual general meeting.
Yeah, report. You should say report.
Okay.
Sorry.
Report by. Placeholders. You're going to do it all. Number five.
We were going to just turn this one around.
Yeah. How was that again?
Implement the compensation scheme for voting directors as recommended by the Boston Consulting Group. Yeah.
And do we want a time bound at this?
I'm out of this discussion.
Do we want to put a time deadline on this? Yeah, how about that?
Will you go and recuse yourself elsewhere? Thank you, sir.
Do we want to put a deadline on that? Why don't you put deadline ? And then we can consult with Peter and see what's feasible. I mean, he might have a sense of how long this, what's practical. Oh, yeah. All right, so we've got that expert. So at the beginning of the sentence, say, recognizing what was her concern?
The concern goes to monetary transfer between developed and non-developed countries and issues that are related to the logistics of such compensation.
Just say logistics then, recognizing that there may be logistical challenges or something like that.
Or rather fiscal.
Yeah, that's right. These are just placeholders. Just placeholders, that's all right.
Don't worry about it. Brian.
Okay, go to six. We know what's supposed to be there. That's enough. That wasn't you. Clarify. Okay, six. Does this lend itself to clear and easy metrics?
And have there are questions of substance.
Yes, there are.
That have been raised. Essentially, the Coalition for Online Accountability raised the issue, said, well, if the board does less, who does what the board was doing until now? Who's taking the decisions? And I also have a certain sympathy for this position. I think the board should be deciding less because there is a streamlining in the policy decision-making process. There are priorities that have been set. So I would link this with what we say about the forecast, about the prioritization. But it is not that the board decides less. It cannot decide less. It cannot delegate to somebody else its powers.
Okay, can I be really specific?
Yes, what are we trying to say?
A really specific example, and this came from a conversation with a couple of board members this morning. A really specific example is what should have happened in the GNSO policy development process for new GTLDs, is that the board when they got the policy development document, should have gone through that document and said, this thing you have put down as implementation is not implementation, it's policy. We're sending it back to you. We don't do policy. And it's that specific. It's about getting clear, you know, that there's their corporate role, the accounts and all the money and all that stuff, and then there is their management role. I'm not sure if that's very helpful. But then
we should be having language that says, specifying what is the proper role of the board in the policy development process or in taking certain decisions, because the wording that we have now suggests that the board wants to have fewer decisions, and this begs the question, who takes then the decisions that the board is not taking?
On the notes I made yesterday on this point, it was the issue on failure of policy development processes also came into play. So is that not something that we could perhaps do some text on?
Yeah, but what are we really saying here? Are we saying the board should have some ability to take policy decisions or initiate? Are we saying that?
No, we're saying this. If you go back to where this came from and the original discussion we had, we talked about a whole heap of things. We talked about, for example, the fact that the board has previously been offered the opportunity to have an external clarification review of what its role and responsibility is, and has refused to do that and said we're perfectly comfortable, we know what our role and responsibility is. And this came from the misty fog out there about what it is that they're actually supposed to be doing, what it is that they're not supposed to be doing. So that's why it says clarify, because we were unclear.
But then the language should be clarify the proper role of the board in certain processes.
Translate into.
Are we asking the board to say and make a clear statement at some point in time, which is measurable, that indicates whether it is going to be an operational board or a governance board? And if it's going to be a governance board, what is its role in policy development failure?
I mean, actually, that statement, if it were created, would be useful. But I'm asking, what does this translate into in terms of action?
We have received comments that go in the other direction. For instance, there was somebody who was suggesting that the board should take an interest in the public consultations against, because people do not trust the summaries done by the staff, how the information about the consultation is conveyed by the staff to the board. At the same time, I think that's probably going too far. But I would like to see the board taking more responsibility for the whole thing and paying the directors. It's part of this effort. We want to have directors that legitimately can invest more.
Okay.
So this flies a bit in the face of this idea of reducing the role of the board.
You're right, but I think we're tying ourselves in knots here. We need to remember something. Actually, the main text of this particular recommendation came from Bergman. And it was a discussion about, it was partly you, Fabio, talking about the board, what the board should do less, and it was Berkman's thing about trying to be subtle and using terms like visibility among stakeholders. And this particular recommendation was a result of that and my drafting on the second night in Boston, I think it was.
At what hour of the morning?
God only knows. It is unclear. The board's response yesterday was, "I'm not sure what you mean." It is unclear, and I'm not sure we're clear.
We need to look back at our own report.
Well, if I go back to the main text, if I go back to Area One, Working Group One's text, it's not there. There is nothing in there that talks specifically about. The board doing things it shouldn't do, or stuff.
Delete.
Well, no, I'm not saying that because I'm not sure. But I.
Why not delete?
Well, yeah.
It's an option.
It is an option.
I'm putting forward delete.
I have no idea what we meant.
That's right. Yes.
Delete.
Yes, exactly.
Delete.
The ATRT has forgotten.
Delete.
Why put this in?
Delete.
In specific examples, absolutely, yes. This goes to should they be considering it in the first place? Yes. It doesn't go to how they explain the decision, but it goes to should they be considering it in the first place. And as I said, but basically they shouldn't be. What they should have done is send it back to the GNSO and say, you figure it out. And if that delays the process by 3 years...
We're not trying to fix the past. We're trying to make the future better.
No, and I was using it as an example. That's all.
I think and this came from... Okay, so this came from comment from directors yesterday that this might be useful for when there's a failure of the policy development process. I think if we narrowed it down to the board future-looking, clarifying what it views its role as in the event of the failure of a policy development process could be useful to the community. I think if we keep it this vague, I'd be inclined to say lose it.
Then why don't we make it more specific? Again, if you went back and had text that identified the specific context in which this issue arose and then say, going forward, the board really needs to make clear to all parties whether it will in the future engage in this or if it's going to insist on a different type of process. I think that's perfectly appropriate. And if that's what we were getting at here, I would certainly suggest we stick with it and clarify it.
I think everyone in the community, including the board, would embrace that opportunity.
I've given optional text which would act as clarification on their role in failover or not. Are you governance, yes or no? And I've suggested delete. They're the two opposite ends of the spectrum. Don't really mind which we do. I would prefer to have it clear to the community that the board is being asked to make clear to the community what its belief, its role is. But if we can't get the wording right, then this makes no sense.
Okay. But this is a direction. This is a recommendation to the board.
Yeah,
and we can make that even more explicit if that's what you're asking.
No, I think that's clear to me. But there's two things I want to pick up on. One, Brian, is your point about sheeting it back home to policy fail, and I don't actually think that was. I mean, that's a new thing. That's not something that we talked about. But secondly, really, aren't we really just asking them to produce a statement that explains what they can, what the board considers its role to be?
Yes.
Well, then, why don't we just say that? Instead of saying which issues are considered at board level, just say, you know, produce a statement to the community explaining the role of the ICANN board in the model. And if you want to say, I don't think you necessarily need to say stuff about improving visibility and all that.
No, I don't either.
Please explain.
And specifically,
let's go ahead for this. This will provoke a very interesting debate among the directors about what they are there for.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's what I want. So clarify as soon as possible. The board shall clarify. Just this we can tweak it. Just but the board shall clarify. Which issues? I think we're trashing most of this.
Don't wordsmith it. Just after the parens,
put specifically in the event of a failure of the policy making process.
Didn't we just drop that?
We dropped that.
Well, yeah, I think I was simply saying, no, I was simply saying that the board should produce, the words don't matter for the moment, the board should produce a clear statement of what it believes the role of the ICANN board is in the model.
But they could just point to the bylaws. They could just point to the bylaws. That's our role. I mean, that's the...
All right, well, then clarify. Expand on the you can't do that.
I think it's I'm more and more in the direction of, Chair, let's delete it. And it's unlikely that we can come up with something reasonable.
Why don't you want to pin it to this one issue?
I'm not saying not to pin it to that. I'm just...
That's a game. I mean, that's a win for everybody.
It depends. Let me put my contrary CCTLD hat on for a minute.
Okay.
Who defines what a fail is?
at what point does it become a fail? Does it become a fail when it goes to the board and they don't understand it? What happens if the CCs think they've done it and the board thinks they haven't?
How is consensus measured? Is full consensus failure to full consensus failure? So if, you know, 15 vote yes and one vote no in a call for consensus, is that fail of PDP process?
Failure might not be the right word. It's a charged word. The absence of consensus-based policy.
Can we perhaps leave it for now? And we're not going to finalize this document right now.
Just put a few question marks.
Just think about it, and we can discuss it tonight. Don't take it out, Alice. Leave it in, but just...
Perhaps some wine will add.
Wine may very well help.
Yes.
Do we have some? Do we have some now?
It is a dinner conversation. This is dinner talk, table talk.
Okay, let's... Let's move on to 7. I'm as soon as I get buzzed, and I'm going to hand. Yeah, I apologize. I'm going to have to step out at some point.
11 anyway. So.
You do, and we're done at 11. Okay. Now let's make sure we on number 7. Is this one where we've already factored in comments received or not? Are we back to what are the comments received? Do we make any changes? Are there any metrics? Is there anything? Complimentary measures for consultation.
We did get asked by the board whether we were suggesting there were consultations that are not taking place that ought to be.
That's right. No, this is a little unclear as well. And I think, Fabio, is this tied into the prior where we're suggesting the board, what's the board's role more broadly? I think it is.
Again, rather than spend time on it, I think I want to go back and reread the drafting papers.
That's good.
And figure out where the hell this came from.
That's a good idea. Instead of spending time here, let's go back and read the full report section. Put some color on that. Okay, number 8. Fabio.
I was suggesting here that we should be saying clearly, perhaps not in the recommendation, but in the text that goes with it, that we are talking about statements that the directors might want to make. They don't have to, but we are not talking about publishing the transcripts of the discussion. Do you remember the discussion yesterday?
And we also need to remember what was brought forward with the way the rules are written at the moment. They get to make a statement if they abstain, but they don't get to make a statement if they're voting in the affirmative. And there was a request to add into our text something that would encourage looking at that ability to make a statement in the affirmative vote.
Sorry, Cheryl. Sorry, didn't mean to step.
Sorry, I said it. You were listening. You should know.
The issue that arose with this one was the director's statements thing, the possibility that I'm just going to keep going, and the possibility that we were expecting them, whereas actually what we meant was if a director chooses to make a formal statement, that should be published. When they read the statement out
Chris, it's also a little bit beyond that, in as much as what they pointed out. What the director, God, I've forgotten which damn director it was. One of them, anyway, pointed out. Well, yeah, it could have been. It wasn't. It was Ray, I think. That if you are abstaining, you make a statement. Hmm. If you're voting against, you make a statement.
Hmm.
If you're voting for, you don't get the opportunity to make a statement to the record of why you think.
Yes, you do.
Let's be clear. This is opportunity. This is a requirement.
He was talking about requirements versus opportunities.
There's no requirement to make a statement if you abstain. There's no requirement to make a statement if you vote against. You can choose to do so if you wish, but there's no requirement.
Well, where was his argument coming from that they don't get to do it with an in the affirmative? Because that's
he's,
the notes.
He started,
I'm just looking at the notes I took yesterday.
Yeah, well, it was in the context of him saying, and whether it was Ray or Harold, but one of them said, my goal is to say as little as possible. I think that was Harold.
That was Harold, and that's why it wasn't him who said this.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty clear that what we mean by this is if a formal statement is made by a director, it should be published.
Go to the third line. So after
we should be spelling out the word statements.
Absolutely. After directors.
It's not transcript.
After directors, put formal statements. If and then after statements, put comma if made. If made, comma on both sides of that.
So,
not, and do we want to lose the word significant decisions? Just decisions or votes? Just decisions, yeah. Yeah, and I did get some feedback from a director afterwards who made, I think, the important point that we need to be careful about requiring that they identify how they voted. I don't think we have here, but particularly for those who are elected from the SOs and ACs, who the SO and AC believes that that person's there in a representative capacity, and you might frustrate independent votes if you force them to disclose. So, of course they're not, Cheryl. Let's just make sure the language doesn't make this obligatory in any way. I don't think it does. We're going to drop votes, too.
I think that makes sense now.
Okay. Okay.
I'm waiting for a buzz.
Yeah.
I finished.
Yeah. And we're also going to note that this was based on feedback from directors too.
Yes, we need a metrics. We need a metric for that.
Thank you, Chris. Metrics.
Now.
Yesterday, October 1st.
Starting with the vertical integration decision. Promptly publish. Sorry, you're not allowed to speak about that. I apologize.
Okay. Metrics are...
Immediately.
Immediately. Yes. Before June. Yeah, I mean, that's redundant, but we really mean it. Okay, number 9. Let's go to number 9. So, again, comments, public comments, director feedback, GAC feedback, metrics.
I made no notes on either GAC or board feedback on number 9, so unless I was in a fugue state, I know of none.
I mean, there was a comment. I don't want to mischaracterize it, but it does seem that it is asking to put some additional statement in to say the idea of redaction is, like, disfavored, should only be used when necessary. You're shaking your head no?
No, I mean,
we have
only
that.
As necessary, I think, is
it's,
consistent
it's,
with the spirit.
It's there.
But we recognize, I mean, things have to be redacted legally. We're not...
And Yvette's Cadner's comment, at least in synopsis Manal's given us here, is only supportive of the recommendation. I think it's a no-change one.
Do we want to play with the word may and make that must?
Where? Yeah.
The limited set of circumstances where materials must be redacted as opposed to may. That's a substantive change.
I'm fine with...
Sorry, is this some definition on when things by legal requirements for whatever have to be redacted? There's that working definition that you legal people would know about and I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
so...
But you get frustrated by it.
Oh, many things frustrate me. This is only one of them. So is not may appropriate?
I'm just asking the question.
Yeah. Maybe. You could, look, it's a question. It's one of those great linguistic questions. I mean, you could actually say where materials have to be.
I'd say must.
Redacted.
That's two fewer words.
That's right.
Actually, exactly. I'm more comfortable with have to be than may, because it indicates the reason for redacting is a strong one. There's no whim associated with redaction here.
That's why I was going for may have to be redacted.
All right, put in may have to be.
The reason for doing that, just so that we're clear, is that there will be occasions where it is very clear that legally something has to be redacted. There will be other occasions where it does not have to be redacted, but the decision based on risks associated with its disclosure is that it should be redacted, and so therefore I think that covers it.
You know, if I this is Warren. If I recall, going back to our very first meeting in Marina Del Rey, the ICANN General Counsel has a very broad definition of a client-attorney privilege.
Yes,
thus
he does.
Thus allowing for, you know, redaction at will.
Correct, which is why this clause is attempting to stop that from happening.
Mm. Warren, are you suggesting that we are explicit in this recommendation and say not, you know, to somehow say this does not mean redaction at will?
Well, I think the issue is we're going to make this perhaps stronger recommendation here, but as I recall Marina Del Rey and then subsequent behavior, he covers it with a very broad blanket of a client attorney privilege, thus rendering number 9 pretty ineffective.
Well, what would make it more effective, Warren?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, Chris. I would leave that to I'd leave that to the lawyers to counter the other lawyers.
Okay. Well, on a step by step basis, the point is first of all to publish a document. So that means go public with what you think your rules are. Clearly define the limited set of circumstances where materials may have to be redacted. So we could, if we chose to, if it isn't already in the preamble, I'm not sure if it is, say something about redaction being used as a default position rather than an exception position. At least if we made the statement like that, it might make it more obvious what we're trying to achieve. But.
Yeah, let me just take the counterpoint there. I mean, you're a lawyer. From a general counsel's perspective, there's just going to be clear instances where things should be redacted, have to be redacted. So I might push back a little bit on that thrust by the ATRT.
I think it is in the main body of the report, if I remember correctly. If it isn't, it should be. There's a comment somewhere in the text about not using removal as a default mechanism, but using it only as an exception. There is something in there.
Is there?
Yeah, I'll double check, but I'm fairly sure.
Okay.
In which case, that I think makes that makes it work. But I'll double check.
Okay. Metrics.
On this. Two things. First, one is again linguistic. Should we not be first putting the articulation of the risks and then the limited set of circumstances where reduction might be necessary? And then perhaps add a sentence to the effect that in interpreting these rules, the board should take into account that the expectation of the community is for reduction to be really limited to the essential or something like this.
Or maximum transparency.
Maximum transparency.
Maximum feasible transparency, something like that. I think flipping the two, I don't think that has any significant impact, and that's fine. That clearly articulates the risk, if any, associated with publication materials and defines the limited set of circumstances where materials may have to be redacted. I, I have no problem with flipping those. And then the only other question is, do we add, the board should consider that the expectation of the community is one of maximum transparency in implementing this practice? Something like that? Anybody have a problem with that? Okay. And just, you know, in a bracket, just put community expectation, and then we'll flesh out the language. Uh-oh. What do we do? Are you in the text, the body of the report? Can I move on, or? Okay. Let's go to number 10. And we're getting close to the hour. What I'm going to suggest is, Alice, let's have hard copies of the recommendations for dinner. And
I want to go back. Sorry,
go ahead.
I need to go back.
Go ahead.
If we're going to think about six while we're doing other stuff, can we go back to six, Alice? It's amazing how your memory. Okay, in the findings section of Area 2 of Working Group 1, there is a paragraph, very clear paragraph, that says. With only a few exceptions, the vast majority of the board's deliberations are based on organizational conventions. Significant policy issues are identified and determined based upon the practices established over time, not according to codified procedures or requirements. As a direct result, a large proportion of comments received as part of the consultation process related to the way in which issues were identified for board consideration, how and why particular decisions were taken, and how these outcomes were conveyed to the stakeholders. These comments reflect a sense of concern. The absence of clear codified guidelines, procedures or processes relating to board decisions escalates stakeholders' concerns. Number six was an attempt to deal with part of that, which is the the way in which issues were identified for board consideration. And then that got sewn in to the discussions with Fabio about the board should be doing less, not more, and the Berkman input about improved visibility among stakeholders and the use of the term steering ICANN's activities, which they specifically used as a sort of hint towards that's what they should be doing. So that's just background for thinking about six, and I'm sorry that I had to go back.
Sorry, I didn't hear a thing you said. But
don't worry.
Action item. You got it? Okay. I apologize. I was trying to get prepped for the session. Okay. We are on number nine. Okay. No, number 10. We've closed off nine. So number 10, publish a detailed explanation at the conclusion of each decision-making process, including why the matter was considered by the board, what consultation occurred, what input was received from the ICANN community, and how this input was considered and how and why it was adopted or discarded. Based on board input, GAC input, public comment, metrics.
Well, here there was an idea that was raised that makes sense, but I don't know whether it should be dealt with here or later when we talk about the policy development process. I believe, again, Steve Del Bianco said, the board should also justify its failure to act, its decision not to decide, not to deal with a certain issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes sense, but probably it should be in a part where we talk about work program prioritization and there the board should justify why it refuses to deal with certain issues.
That seems sensible to me and appropriate. As a practical matter, from the community perspective, how often is the board going to be asked, why aren't you acting? Articulate, why aren't you acting?
No, the point is, I think that there are two levels of discussion. There is the specific decision on an item taken by the board and you want to know why a specific decision was taken. Then how comes that, for instance, the board hasn't taken a final decision on generic top-level domains? That, I think, calls for a sort of the publication of a work program by the board of ICANN for the next 12, 18 months, and where it says, over the next 12, 18 months, these are the issues we're going to deal with. And then somebody might say, why aren't you not dealing with this specific issue? And then perhaps there might be an obligation for the board to explain why it is not dealing with that issue. But this is something that I would deal, again, when we talk about the forecast, about the prioritization, and about all this under the area of Cheryl.
Yeah, I agree with the notion. Just need to think through the practical implications, and if we add it to this list, do we put any boundaries around it?
I would not add it here. Oh. I would, when we talk about the policy development process and we talk about the forecast and everything, I would like to rethink a bit, for instance, for tonight, about where we can introduce this idea of the board announcing a work program and the community being able to react to have an exchange there.
Okay. We're at the top of the hour. I have to go myself. If you want to stay on and you have time and want to keep working, that's fine by me.
What session are they starting
with? Well, I don't know what's starting over there. That's fine by me. Carry on if you wish, and we will reconvene at 2 o'clock in the public session.
At the moment, at 11, it's the new GTLD program status. Some people might find... I'm looking at Monday, the 6th of December. I'm looking at Getasami, Ani, whatever it is. The break is 10:30 to 11. That should be finished. And then what I see is new GTLD program status in the main room.
I've got to go. I have to go. Carry on if you wish, and I'll see you all at 2.
We've been through 10 of the recommendations.
10 of 29.
We're not going to finish the rest of them tonight at dinner, I don't think. Do we need another time to meet today or tomorrow?
Are people still in town tomorrow? Tomorrow's a busy day. It's a constituency work day.
Can't do tomorrow.
Can we do tomorrow evening? Sorry, kids.
Chris, it's impossible.
Evening would be fine, but we need an environment like this one where we can sit for a couple of hours, at least.
Okay, we've got...
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
You guys are gone.
I think Larry and I, we're flying out. I think I have a plane.
You're flying on Wednesday?
CC day for me as well.
Okay, then the other... So if we're now here, then we explore Thursday... Can some people call in, and whoever's still physically on the ground, can we join?
Yes.
The schedule is beyond packed for those of us who are involved in the SOs and ACs, especially in any of the leadership roles. So,
are you saying you can't handle it, Cheryl?
I can make sure I'm replaced because I'm always replaceable.
Oh, you're a brave man, Brian. You're a brave man.
I can't be replaced here.
Look, the logistics are what they are. Either we find it.
The public session. What do we have after that?
I've got a roundtable with. I've got a 4 o'clock with the Colombian Minister of Communications, which I probably can't.
As do I.
Let's. Okay, at dinner. At dinner tonight. Let's put this on the table and figure out when we can get together.
Well, As long as we haven't lost any time today, let's just think about this for a minute. What time do we have dinner? Is there any reason why we can't meet at, even if it's not every single one of us, we couldn't meet at, say, 5:30?
I can.
5:30 today? Yeah.
When's the Rec 6 thing, Cheryl?
Yes.
Is that at 5:30?
I've been the wrong day. Hang on, let me get you today.
Okay, 5:30. So, can Alice you see if you can get us a room for 5:30? Thanks.
Us? No.
Oh, there's Rec 6.
Recommendation 6 is at 5:30.
Yeah. Hang on. Is that That is what? That is a public session on Rec 6? Okay, so if you need to go to that, right?
I'm on this day.
Yeah, okay, but is that okay if we meet without you?
Of course it is.
Right, okay, so we'll meet somewhere, Alice will tell us where, and we promise not to make any changes that you'll care about.
Thank you, Chris.
So I think that's it. We can go 5:30. Alice will email us the room, and we'll go from there.
Now, what's happening from 7 o'clock on? Yeah, there's time between that and getting to dinner. Yeah.
Warren, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm there. I've got to run, but I'll look out for any email.
Now, hold on, just before you do, is there any chance that you could ask James, who's not here right now, if he could spend a little bit of time, if he's got time today, just till before 5:30, just looking at Working Group 4 input? And coming back and saying, you know, these recommendations I think don't need any changes, these ones do?
Yeah, we'll try to get on that today.
Thanks, Warren.
Okay, folks, bye-bye.
Bye, Warren.
Cheers, bye.
Is there a reason why we can't also convene at the end? Like, how long are you going to be running? 5:30 to when? Through to dinner or what? Okay.
7:30 and then we go.
What? You'd be going straight from here to dinner?
Yes.
So, I mean, dinner doesn't have to be at the stop of 8 o'clock. Yeah. Have we got where is the venue for the dinner? Is it a book table? Do they, or is it, you know, traditionally Latin and you can be half an hour late? Okay. Alice, just make sure Gisela knows where I am. No, where this next session will be, because I'll come across. I'll just have to work out, will I go back to recommendation 6 or will I come straight from the Lacrillo showcase to here?
Public session.